Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you listening in today. I hope you're having a good day so far, and we do appreciate the opportunity to be back one more time. We always make mention that this is a ministry of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and if you are in the area, if you're visiting in the high country or maybe looking for a church home, we would love for you to come by and to visit with us. And we are located just outside of Boone on Highway 105 South. And I think when I've measured it before, you're probably looking at 5 miles from the Wendy's stoplight. And you'll go out of Boone on Highway 105 South, and you will come to Baird's Creek Road on the right. We are 1 mile up that road just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, and we have Sunday school for all ages on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and then our Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m. We have a church website that has all our other services and information, and that is mountlebanonbc.org. Now, Noah is usually with us, and he's not here today. He's got a work conflict going on, and so not able to make it today. And he always welcomes all of our listeners on the other radio stations that we're on, and that would be 690 AM WZAP in Bristol, Virginia, and then also 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota, and then our local listeners here on WATA 1450. And also, we appreciate, I run into somebody this week that said they listened in, and we do appreciate that. It's always nice to talk to people in town that are listening on the radio. I've been making an announcement, and I'll make it again today, and that is the fall semester of the Victory Bible Institute. If you are interested in getting a degree, that's what it is, a bachelor's degree in studying your Bible, that is available through the Victory Bible Institute. And the campus is located in Roan Mountain, Tennessee. And the semester starts on August the 11th. The satellite school, correspondence, internet, all that starts the week after that on August the 18th. And you can find out more about that at vbcministries.org. Pastor Jerry Honeycutt is over the school there and talks to most of the people that come in. And it's a great opportunity to get your bachelor's degree. And I know what it is, but my mind just went blank and I didn't have it written down, so I can't remember what it's actually called. But it's a 3-year study, and I'll write that down next time. But we've been involved with the school, and I'm ashamed that I don't know. It's not that I don't know, I just can't bring it to mind. You ever have days like that? You just can't remember. Well, anyway, last week we finished up a little series that we have been doing on the book Common Sense by Thomas Paine, and that was published in January of 1776. And we sort of finished that up last week. I've been praying about, thinking about what to do next, what direction to go in next. There's so much going on in the world, in our own country. I mean, there is a multitude of issues that you can always talk about. There's the election. There is terrorism. There is unrest in our country. Protests going on. You've got the law enforcement. You've just got all kinds of things that are continually going on. But I've learned this, that if you take your material from current events, then just about by the end of the day, what you've said is probably irrelevant. That's how news is daily news, and they've got to talk about current events. Well, the next day, whatever they've been talking about may not even be in the news anymore. And so if you take your material from current events, then you're out of date by the end of the day. But if you deal with things, and I do this just a little bit differently, then you could go back in 5 years and listen to this radio broadcast and you could get something out of it. You wouldn't say, oh, that was talking about a long time ago. That's not relevant anymore, but it would still be relevant. And I want to be relevant. I want to be, I have a desire that if you go back in 5 years and look about, you'd say, you know, that's still good. That's still true. And so it's how you deal with things from a news standpoint that comes and goes, or from principles. That principles that we find in Bible, principles of our government, principles of our history, or instances that have gone on in the history. Those are things that will last. And so we've been thinking about this. It's an election year. And no matter who wins, the other side is not going to be happy about it. Oh my goodness, I've heard all kinds of things. Both sides. If so-and-so wins, I'm leaving the country. We're ruined. You know, we've all heard that before, and that's pretty common every time that we have an election year. What can we do about that? What can we do about the sad state of affairs in our country? Well, we've taught on this several times before, and I still say the number one thing that we can do is pray for our nation. That's the first thing we ought to do and be doing. That's what the Bible says to do. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 1, Paul said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, prayers, supplications, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for all that are in authority. And so we are to pray for our leaders, those that are in leadership positions. And so we taught on that a while back. We taught on what can we do? What can I do for my nation? And I would encourage you one more time, what can we do? We can pray. And so we always need to come back to that. When we pray, we come to the end of what we can do, and we come to the beginning of what the Lord can do. And so the Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 3. Now, beyond that, you know, it's an election year, and I've thought a lot about this. I've thought about, you know, I'm not pleased with either of the candidates. I think that you've got about, I don't know, I just don't want to even go there, but I wouldn't have chosen either one to even run. I think in our country, surely there's others that have that are better qualified, that could more represent the majority of the people in America than to be so divisive, one side or the other side. And I'm telling you, it is very, very divided in our nation right now. And so a lot of people say, well, if Clinton gets in, we're ruined. If Trump gets in, we're ruined. And this one is be a dictator, and this one is like Hitler. And, you know, you have all this bad stuff that's said about them. And here's what I'm getting at. We have to trust. Now, if somebody gets in as president that most people aren't pleased with, or, you know, by the end of a few years, nobody's pleased with, what can we do? We have to trust in our governmental system that we have in place to protect us, to protect our country, to hold our country together during times of less than good leadership, or when we have leaders that are unwise, foolish, heavy-handed. You know, we need to pray that they won't be able to do all the things that they've said they're going to do. And politicians don't do that anyway. You know, they promise the moon, and you might get, you know, nothing out of it. But they make these big promises. All these things they're going to do. Even Mr. Obama has said this before. You know, he said all these things that he was going to do. Some of them he was able to do, but a lot of things he was not able to do, because we have a governmental system that makes it hard to do anything. Now, some people may say, well, we need to change that. No, we need to be thankful that in our country it is very hard to make major, major changes. And that slows the process down, and it allows time for the system to work. And we all should hope and pray that the system works as it should. And so our governmental system is designed to move slowly, not quickly. And this is a protection to the people that someone cannot come into power and just change everything. It takes a lot to change our Constitution, to change sometimes the laws of the land. It's a very slow process. Now, if we are ignorant of our government and how it works, then we are at a great disadvantage, and we can be taken advantage of much easier. Someone can come in and do things that actually are not constitutional or are not lawful. And so if the American people are not aware of this, then it's easy to pass off things. It's easy to do things that otherwise would not be done. And so I said all that to say this. What I'm going to begin today, and this is the foundational, this is block one of what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at the subject of civics, not Honda Civics, but the subject of civics that pertains to our government and to our rights and to our duties as citizens. Now, the word civics, C-I-V-I-C, civic. The word civics pertains to a city or a citizen. And so it's talking about a citizen. What does it mean to be a citizen? If you look it up online, the dictionary.com or Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the more modern definition, if we said, you know, I'm taking a civics class in college or I'm studying civics in high school, the definition would be this: the study of rights and duties of citizens and how the government works. And so that's what civics is. Civics is a study of the rights that we have, the duties that we have as a citizen, and also how our government works. I remember in elementary school, and I'm thinking probably 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th grade, somewhere along in there. You have to realize that's been a long time ago now. But I do remember studying civics, and it was interesting. If I remember it, it was interesting. And so I remember studying about our government. I remember studying about our three branches of government, separation of powers, checks and balances, our Constitution, the Bill of Rights. All of these things have to do with us as citizens. And our rights that we have are expressed in the Bill of Rights, in the Declaration of Independence. We're going to be talking about that. The duties that we have, how our government works, all these things are laid out. If we don't understand it, we are very likely to be taken advantage of. Our country is very likely to be subverted out from under us, and that has happened and is happening sometimes, and it's because we don't understand how it's supposed to work. So I remember studying civics in school. When a person legally comes to this country and applies to be a citizen, what they have to do, they have to take a citizenship course. And that is actually a requirement to study civics. So if a person comes to this country, and no one should be against legal immigration, somebody coming to this country, I mean, the great, great majority of the people in this country, somebody in their family came here from somewhere else once upon a time. And so they used to talk about America, a melting pot, and you had people coming from all over the world to America. Immigration is a good thing if it's done legally. And that's what I'm talking about. Somebody that comes here legally and wants to apply to become an American citizen, they have to become proficient in civics, and they have to pass a civics test. And what they learn in civics, they learn about the history of our country, they learn about the government and how it works, and they learn about their duties and their responsibilities, and they learn about all of these things, and they have to take a test, and they have to pass that test. I have talked to people before that had come here from another country and become an American citizen. And I have been amazed that they know more about our country and how things are supposed to work than people that were born and raised here. it is very sad that a lot of people do not understand what it means to be an American citizen, or what America, where we come from, all of these things. But if you come here from another country, you have to learn these things, and you have to pass a test. And if you cannot pass that test, you cannot become an American citizen. Now, anytime I study a subject or I have questions about something, the first thing I want to know is what, if anything, does the Bible say about it? And I'm going to tell you how what got me thinking about this subject is I was reading through the book of Acts. So in the Bible, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you have the book of Acts. And the book of Acts really tells about, it tells about a lot of things, but especially the end of the book tells about the life of the Apostle Paul and some of the things that he went through in his ministry. And so if you study about Paul and you read the book of Acts, you find out that the Apostle Paul is continually involved in some way or another with the governmental authorities. Somebody said that everywhere that Paul went, he either caused a revival or a riot. And that's there's something to that. I mean, historians say that you would have heard about the Apostle Paul, who his name to begin with was Saul, and the Lord changed his name, but he was such a learned individual that history would have brought about things about his life, whether or not he was mentioned in the Bible or not. He's just a very learned individual, very influential person, but we usually know him in relation to his Christianity. And at first he persecuted the church, and then he met the Lord and he got saved and he began to preach the gospel, and he became one of those who he had been persecuting. And so he became a Christian and he begins to preach the gospel, and he gets in trouble with the Jews about everywhere he goes. And so there's a lot of uproar about his life. And here's what I noticed about the Apostle Paul. This is what I noticed as I was reading through the book of Acts, is that Paul knew his duties and his rights as a citizen. Now, of course, he was not an American citizen, but he was a Roman. And being a Roman was different. See, the Roman Empire ruled the world. And if you were a Roman citizen, you had rights, you had privileges, you had freedoms, you had liberties that other people that were under the jurisdiction of the Roman Empire did not have. So the Apostle Paul, even though he was a Jew, he used his Roman citizenship, and he knew his rights, he knew his privileges being a Roman. He used that knowledge to his advantage. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote more about the Christian and his government than anybody else in the Bible. And, for example, Romans chapter number 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for the powers that be are ordained of God. And he wrote about the Christian and what it means to be a citizen. And he expounded upon this. He used that knowledge to his advantage. He used it to the advantage of the gospel's sake. He never tried to operate outside of his citizenship. And what I mean by that, even though he found himself, what we might say, in controversy with the governmental authorities many times, he was not a lawbreaker. And I'll show you that from the Bible in just a moment. But let me give you just a couple of examples what I'm talking about. And this is, so we're thinking about civics. And from my standpoint, I want to know what the Bible says. What does the Bible say about being a citizen? Am I supposed to appeal to that? Am I supposed to count that as nothing? What does the Bible say? Well, Paul continually referred to his citizenship and things being done according to the law. Paul was very, very conscious of if something was lawful or if something was done according to the law. He knew the law. And this is where we're missing it today. We don't understand the law. We don't understand what natural rights are. And we're being taken advantage of across our nation. Well, let me give you an example. This is what caught my attention. First of all, I'd never really noticed this before. A lot of you know about Acts chapter number 16, and Paul and Silas are in prison, and they're singing at midnight, and the Lord sends an earthquake, and it breaks their bonds, and that is a very common, you know, you can hear that as a little child in Sunday school. And so the jailer in his house, Paul preaches the gospel unto them, and they believe, and they get, they bring Paul into their house, and you know, it just, but Paul is set free by the earthquake. Well, the next morning, and this is what I had never really noticed before. The next morning after the earthquake and after Paul and Silas are invited into the jailer's house and he's believed the gospel, and verse 34 says that he rejoiced believing in God with all his house. But verse 35 says, and when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. Now, if you and I were in prison, and, you know, all these events had taken place, and, you know, the Lord had sent an earthquake and basically broke the prison, and we were free to go, but we didn't go. And, you know, the jailer gets saved. And the next morning, you know, news of this begins to spread, and the judge sends down and says, let them go. We'd say, praise the Lord. God opened the door, and we get to go home, and, you know, we'd be gone. But Paul does not do that. Now, this is very interesting to me. Verse 37 says, but Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans. See, there is an appeal to his Roman citizenship. And have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Or are they going to just kick us out of prison privately? He said, nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. There was something special about being a Roman citizen. And they'd put him in prison, and they had beaten them uncondemned. And that was against the law. And the Apostle Paul knew that. And so he wasn't just going to let this slide. Even though he could have went on his way and said, the Lord delivered us, he did not let it slide. He appealed to his citizenship and the rights which he had. And they came, verse 39, and they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered in the house of Lydia. And when they'd seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. What this would be equal to would be being arrested and held without a charge and making those that were responsible for it own up to their mistake. He appealed to the lawfulness of the situation. And as citizens, if we don't understand our rights, if we don't understand our Constitution, if we don't understand the law, we're going to be taken advantage of. Paul knew his civics. And I believe it's good for us to know our civics as well. What is the law of the land? How does our government work? Let me give you another example or two while we have time. It's quickly going to get away today, but Paul is preaching the gospel. He is seized in the temple. There's a great uproar, and the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, now they're over. You know, Jerusalem is under Roman authority. And so the soldiers get involved. Acts chapter number 21 and verse number 33. I want to read what the Bible says. Then the chief captain came near and took him, that's talking about Paul, and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying away with them. So there's a great uproar concerning the Apostle Paul. And the crowd's about to, you know, they're about to take him out and stone him and cast him out of the city. And the soldiers have to rush in and rescue him. And they carry him aside into the castle. Can't you just imagine all this in your mind? Verse 37 said, and it was Paul was led into the castle. He said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? He was surprised that he could speak the same language that he could. And verse 39 said, but Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And so what did Paul use as his argument for being able to speak unto the people, that he would be granted more liberty than somebody else was? He appealed to his citizenship. He knew about civics. He knew the law. He knew that as a Roman citizen, he could not be held without being condemned. He could not be beaten without a charge. He knew these things. And so this is an example of Paul appealing to his citizenship. He said, I am a citizen of no mean city, meaning he was a Jew, yes, but he was a Roman citizen. And then in Acts chapter number 22, there's a good example over there of Paul knowing his rights. Acts chapter 22 and verse 25, and as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, that centurion was a Roman soldier, he said, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? So he appeals to the police officer standing by. That's how we would look at it. Is it lawful for you to scourge a man to beat me that is a Roman and I'm uncondemned? There's no charge. There's no conviction on his account. They were getting ready to beat him, or they had beat him. Verse 26, when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, I was free born, meaning that he didn't buy his way into being a Roman citizen, but he was born a Roman citizen. That's what he was telling the centurion. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands. And so we find again an example. Paul is involved in a dispute with the authorities, and what does he do? He doesn't say, I'm a preacher, you need to let me go. He doesn't say, this is not right. He says, I'm a Roman citizen, this is my rights. And so what did he do? What is the biblical thing to do? Is to know how our government works, what our rights are, what our duties are. And Paul always, he appealed to that, and he used that to his advantage. So civics is very, very important. I'll give one more example. I've got just a couple of minutes left here in Acts chapter number 25 and verse number 10. Eventually, what you find in the book of Acts is Paul continually takes his case to the higher court, and we would say taking your case all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, Paul appeals to Caesar, and he says in Acts 25, verse 11, for if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. And so he said, if I'm worthy of death, I don't refuse to die, but I'm using my rights to my full advantage, and I'm going to appeal all the way to Caesar. And so we find that civics is very important, and but if we don't know it, it's not going to do us any advantage. Well, our time is quickly coming gone today. We do appreciate you listening in. You can find out more about our ministry on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. And you've been listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA. We do appreciate that. And also our other radio stations that listen in. We thank you for that. I hope you have a great day. And God bless you is our prayer.